Welcome back here on KWKR 99.9 The Rock to Buff Talk here on October 23rd. Kyle Friedman here for KWKR 99.9 The Rock. Playoffs. That's what we're doing right now. I had to start with that. Now that we dive into football, head coach Brian Hill joins us. Coach, I want to start by saying credit where credit's due. Florida State actually did play a very good game this weekend.
They did play very well. Well, at least three quarters they did.
I was going to say, how much of that game did you watch this weekend?
I got to watch it all. Those night games are a lot easier for me to tune into, and it was nice to be able to watch from start to finish of one of their games. I haven't done that very much this year.
Fair. Next home we even get is Miami. So I'm sure you'll be watching that one too.
Yeah. Well, whether I watch it full time or whether I watch it recorded, I will watch that one from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. Are you used to DVRing games and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I DVR my DVR every time they come on. It DVRs their game. And them and Air Force. I love watching Air Force since they do a lot of the things that we do. Those games, no matter, you know, what time of the day or what, they all season long, those get on my DVR, and I spend a lot of time watching those in the off season.
Okay, let me talk about that then, because they've been one of the stories of college football. I didn't even realize you watched them that much this year.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved it, you know, as since we picked up running the Flexbone and things that, you know, Navy and Army, you know, Army's kind of moved away from it, and Navy, I've always just felt, you know, when you watch, you know, there's, you know, it's kind of like when somebody says they're spread, you know, there's different ways to run spread. Well, Flexbone is the same way, that there's multiple ways to do it. And I've just always been more attracted to the way that the Air Force runs, you know, their Flexbone. They kind of do everything every year to kind of fit the, you know, the talent of their offense. And I feel like that's what we try to do. And I just enjoy watching their kids play. They're so disciplined. They play so hard. And it's been really cool. You know, I really fell in love with Zeke Daniels, who has played quarterback there for, seemed like forever, all during the COVID years here. But, you know, they got a new kid in there. And he's the Mountain West 200-meter indoor and outdoor champion, and their offense is definitely different him in there than it has been the last few years. So it's always fun to watch. I mean, I definitely watch games, you know, differently. You know, when I watch them play, you know, I'm watching it more to kind of, you know, watch the scheme than I am just for the pure joy benefit.
Mm-hmm. And they're 7-0 now this year.
Yeah, and it's not been easy. You know, they had to come back against Wyoming, and you know, they actually threw the longest pass in Air Force history this weekend against Navy, threw it 94 yards for a touchdown.
Wow.
So it was kind of cool.
I mean, that's anything for any program, but for Air Force, that's like hundreds of years in the making, right? You know? But they closed the year. They put Colorado State. Have you gone to an Air Force game, actually?
Like, yeah, I've been to Air Force games. In fact, quite a few years ago when we played Castleview, which is in Castle Rock, Colorado, we went up there and played on a Friday night, spent the night, played a Saturday morning JV game. And then on the way home, we took all the kids to an Air Force game.
Okay.
I think they played Georgia State or somebody like that. And they were beating them up pretty good by the beginning of the fourth quarter. And all our kids were tired and everything. It was a beautiful day, and it was a cool experience. But, yeah, I've been to quite a few Air Force games. They're fun.
Okay, so I need Air Force to have their game against Army on November the 4th flex to a night game so I can catch up to that.
Absolutely.
I've been unlucky with that stuff this year. Diving into your last game, a tough road loss against Great Bend, 35-21. Take me through some of the things you saw in that game.
You know, we really did play a really poor second quarter. you know, turn the ball over multiple times that led to 21 points directly for them. And that was really hard to come back from. And it really made it even more difficult when we kick off in the second half and they ran it back for a touchdown. But, you know, I was really proud of my kids, the way that they played and how hard they played. They never gave up. They kept doing what they were doing, and it just was one of those deals that it wasn't our night. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the kids played hard. I mean, I said it to you after the game or maybe even the pregame that, you know, the kids, we had just as good a practice, you know, when we look at our GPS metrics as we had the week before. I felt like the focus was there, the preparation was there, everything that we had the week before was right there. Just that, you know, when we just, you know, didn't play well, you know, turned the ball over a few times, made a bad decision, you know, fumbled the football, and, you know, those things are going to happen, you know, over the course of a season, and we just picked a bad time for that to happen.
That was one thing you mentioned, actually, on the postgame show, was the way that the team fought in the second half. I thought it was probably one of the best halves the offense has had second half of this season. You gave credit to the way that they fought. What did it mean for the team to be able to move the ball in the third quarter, even if they came up short?
Well, you know, I mean, that's been the Achilles heel of us, you know, all year long. Was everybody's asking me, how come we can't do anything in the third quarter? And I guess, you know, because we were so focused on it, that all of a sudden it became the second quarter. So, you know, I think we got to quit worrying about all the things that are happening and then just play the game as it is. And you know, it's just the thing that, you know, they played well, you know, the intensity and the no quit in these kids, I I'm just so proud of the way that they've handled themselves all year long. I mean, you know, we're 5-3 you know, we're probably a quarter and a half or so away from being 8-0, you know. So, but, you know, it's just one of those things that I think that our kids, you know, we've had some bad breaks and some things that have happened to us during the course of a game that we've not been able to recover from. And you know, that's just how football's played, that you turn the ball over and especially when they lead directly to touchdowns, those are hard to overcome in games.
You talk about that second quarter. That was only the second time your team's ever trailed in the first half all season. And it's the first time all year the team trailed at halftime all year.
Yeah, the first time we trailed, and I think we went through every game in the regular season that there was only against Hayes was we didn't take the opening drive on offense and score a touchdown. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives and things that we've had and done. It's just that there's been times that we've had some really key moments where we've not performed well. You know, just there's not a whole lot of explanation. It's just that's how it's worked out. And I don't blame the kids. I don't blame anybody. It's just one of those things that's the course of the game. That's what happened. And we can't do anything about it. The only thing we can do is continue to try to get better and learn from it.
Absolutely. You talk about opening drive success. Ethan Allen got that touchdown in the opening drive. He had a couple touchdowns in the game. Take me through the way he played.
Oh, just, you know, just the amount of toughness and things that he has showed. I mean, we, you know, people don't realize that not only did we, you know, ask so much out of him offensively, but, you know, he played man. He was the only defensive back that played man-to-man coverage on every single snap. When they got into, you know, a trips formation and the guy on the backside, you know, we just said, hey, that's your guy. And then we played out zone and everything off of him everywhere else. And so to have to do that and play both ways, again, you know, tells not only the amount of trust that I think that the coaches have in him, but the amount of you know, responsibility and understanding and preparation that takes not only mentally but physically, you know, to play in a 6A game and to play that many snaps because he's back there returning punts, he's returning kicks, you know, he's on the punt team. I mean, he doesn't come off the field very often for any play. And so for him to be able to do that on a very seasonably warm night in October, you know, is all the credit is to him and his preparation.
Yeah, it was a little hot. I don't know if I told you this, but I had a bug fly right in my throat.
Oh, no.
During a game. The first time that's ever happened to me. I've had bugs around me before, but I've never had one just go straight into my throat in the middle of the drive.
Good.
No. It was that was a very fun booth on Friday. There was a whole set of separation there. You did give me fair warning.
I did give you fair warning.
You did give me warning. I just wasn't anticipating it, but there we were. I was expecting the crowded space. I wasn't expecting the bugs to also join in the festivities. You talk about Ethan above the shoulders. I mean, this is someone who tried to face adversity this year. Game one of the season, the punt muff. He's had a couple of bad moments this season, but also he's been able to rise to the challenge every time you've needed him. How important is that to have one of your seniors also be so good above the shoulders?
Oh, I mean, that just shows, again, is all the credit to him. I mean, it's you know, I mean, when you play that many snaps and you're asked to do that many things, you're going to fail. And so, you know, this isn't a deal that we anticipate him to be 100% all the time, and we don't anticipate any of our kids to be 100%, you know, throughout a game. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. And, you know, the only thing that we try to do is limit them as much as we can. That's why we practice. That's why we prepare. But, you know, I mean, he has done way more for us than he's done to hurt us. And that is all the credit to him, for him to be able to go out and do that and play the two positions that he's playing. I mean, just shows you how tough he really is and what he's all about.
The situation where you were down in the second quarter going into the third quarter, who were some of those guys in the locker room that wanted to rise up and say, hey, we can get back from this?
You know, really, you know, it was all of them. You know, from the time that, you know, we really didn't go into the locker room because the locker room is pretty small there, kind of like your booth. but we stayed outside and because the air and everything was a lot cooler. And While we were talking amongst the coaches and things, that I heard it really kind of from everybody, you know, is that we're not done yet. We're going to go out there. And I mean, I didn't even really have to say much, you know, before I even got him up, I heard, hey, defense, you go out there and get a stop, and then offense is going to score. I mean, that was their mindset. It wasn't, you know, I mean, there was a little bit of a shock factor when we first got there, as the half began, but again, that's, I think, shows the mental toughness of our kids that they had flipped the switch and they were ready to go. And it wasn't all just, talk, because they went out there and showed it with their actions and the way that they performed. And even though that they came up short, their effort still needs to be applauded.
Diving into playoffs now, we've talked about it a couple times before, how contested that 6A was this year. I mean, 5-3 and having to go on the road. The fact that it's come down to the last week of the season for so many different teams, can you talk about how contested that this division, this class has been?
Yeah, I've never seen it like this. I've been, you know, we've been doing this now for, boy, I think it's been at least 6 or 7 years now that we've been doing this, seeding process like this. And for 10 teams in the West to be 5-3 or better is kind of crazy to think about. I've seen at times where 5-3, you know, you're a 4 seed, you know, or a 5 seed. And the fact that we're 5-3 and plus 32 and got to go on the road and we're a 10 seed is pretty remarkable. Shows you the strength that the West actually has, because at 5-3, we would be a 5 seed in the East if we were playing. So, but I mean, it is what it is. As I told the kids after the game, and we talked about it again today, was that, you know, the playoffs, everybody, you know, the records don't mean anything now. I mean, other than that, the bigger record got to, you know, have somebody at home. But other than that, I mean, either any team wins, the other team checks their stuff in on Monday. So, you know, our focus has been on to be the very best team that we can be and travel up to Lawrence and to play the game and play it as hard as we can and see what happens.
How has the team's response been after such a tough loss on Friday?
You know, it was better than I thought. You know, I know that, and maybe, you know, today not having school throughout the day, may have given it another day to sleep in and kind of get over it, I think probably helped a little bit. But, you know, we had a senior meeting before we did workouts and things this afternoon. And really, I felt really good about that conversation with the seniors and where their mindset was. And then as we went out and ran, you know, If you would have just dropped me in, you know, and not told me what happened on Friday, or I had amnesia or something, and showed up on Friday or Monday and saw them working out and their encouragement of their teammates and the way they acted, that I wouldn't have known that they lost a tough game like that on Friday. So, again, I'm just really happy with the way that these kids have come around and they've handled every situation that's been thrown at them all season long. Football is just really tough because, you know, in most every other sport, you get to play once or twice, you know, more than once a week. And now you got to sit for 6 days and you got to get over it and you got to, you know, watch the film and relive it a second time and all those kind of things. And so, you know, it can be difficult for teenagers and coaches in general to kind of, you know, get over it, because you see things that you wish that you could have done or changed, or, you know, we would have executed better. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we didn't. Now we all need to learn we talked about in 2016, I believe it was, that we were a 3 seed and Lawrence Free State was a 6 seed and came out here in the second round and beat our britches off, you know, a little bit. That, you know, sometimes you get underseeded, you get overseeded, you know, based on the people you play or one bad game. Or, I mean, because one of the games that year, I know that they lost to a team that they shouldn't have, lost by 1 point on the last play on a Hail Mary. And so that's why they ended up being the 6 seed. Well, they were not a 6 seed. They were probably a 2 or a 3 seed. But because of that one game, and then they played a Missouri school, all the Kansas City schools were playing Missouri schools in that cycle, and they ended up playing Park Hill South, who was really, really good, and they lost that game. So, you know, if they would have played a Kansas schedule, and if one game, you know, they would have been, you know, a top seed probably right there alongside Derby, and so be it. Now they were a 6 seed, and that's what happens. And that's what happens, you know, I mean, it happens in the NCAA basketball tournament, that sometimes teams get overseeded or underseeded, and it's really about matchup. And I think that, you know, an unfamiliar opponent is never a negative thing. It kind of helps free up kind of your thinking in a little bit, that sometimes we play these teams, in our district or in our league and everything so many times that, you know, you're worried about, you know, showing things and changing up how we give it to them. But I think that, playing someone different and everything is going to be a kind of a breath of fresh air.
Don't get me started on March Madness, by the way. I could talk about that all day long. But I do want to talk about this matchup. So you obviously have history with Free State. When you talk about playing teams that are east of Wichita, is there a different kind of mindset that those teams have? Do they play a different way than some of these teams out in Western Kansas?
A little bit. They play a lot more of a wide open offense and defense. I mean, they see, you know, there's, you know, normally, you know, more than one person that they try to get the ball to, and they spread it around and those kind of things. And most of the time, most of the teams up there are so evenly matched that, you know, records can come and go year after year. I mean, but they play in a really, really tough league there in the Sunflower. And so, you know, it's something that we know that they're a really good football team. Again, if you're going to play in the playoffs and you're going to go anywhere, you're going to have to beat good football teams. And they're no different. I mean, their quarterback is a really, really good football player. As he goes, they go. He's probably their best running back that they have. And so if I had to probably compare them to anybody offensively that we have faced, it's probably more like Liberal than anybody, that they, you know, really rely heavily on the quarterback play, whether it's him throwing it or him running it, that he's going to dictate how the offense runs.
I think when I look at both these two teams, I think neither one would have expected to be playing each other at this point of the year.
I can agree with that 100%.
I was going to say, you guys were anticipating hosting. They were 6-0 2 weeks ago, and now right. They come in at 6-2. So what do you expect for these two teams to come out on? You know, is it going to be a frustrated mindset? Like, what are you expecting in this game?
Being on a Monday, I really think that we'll bounce back. You know, as I said earlier, that I'm really positive about the way that they came. But they came into today, but, you know, as I look at them, you know, you don't know. I mean, they lost a heartbreaker, you know, to their arch rival in double overtime after being up 17-7 in the fourth quarter, and you lose in double overtime. I mean, like I talked to the kids, that's got to be heartbreaking, you know, that if, you know, we're up 17-7 and you know, imagine us, you know, we were up, you know, against Dodge City, and if we'd have lost that game in overtime or double overtime and then went to Great Bend and then had that type of game, because their score was identical to ours last week, which was 35-21 to Olathe North, who's a really good football team. So it's one of those things that I think both teams are going to have to kind of find themselves, because they lost not only to their arch rival, but then they lost senior night, the next week, because they played at home last weekend. And so, here we are coming off of a tough loss. We had an opportunity to get a share of the WAC championship. So I think both teams are kind of, you know, mentally struggling and probably having to try to overcome that. And as you said, you know, both being surprised to play one another, you know, it's going to be kind of whoever can get out there, and probably, you know, momentum and some confidence is going to play huge early in this game.
Playoff football in Kansas, is anything like it?
No, not really. I mean, other than the Hatchet game, I mean, it's kind of the similar type of thing that, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you feel the intensity, you know, that, that it's do or die. And I think that, that our kids, you know, understand that. And, you know, the travel isn't something that scares me or scares our kids very much. I mean, you know, we've been to Topeka a few times since I've been here and those kind of things. So I don't think that's, you know, it's going to be a simple little trip for us. And it's really just going to come down to how we play. And if we can prepare the right way, that, you know, hey, I'll take my chances anytime with this group.
Guys, thank you for your time. Best of luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Buff Talk here on KWKR 99.9 The Rock. If you're looking for Garden City High School's football matchup against Free State, it'll be on KWKR 99.9 The Rock this Friday as they travel out to Lawrence. Thank you so much to volleyball coach Trista Bailey and soccer coach Jose Vital for joining the show earlier tonight. And thank you so much to Colin Wolf, who's back in the KWKR 99.9 The Rock studio, for operating this presentation for us. You've been listening to this presentation of Buff Talk here on KWKR 99.9 The Rock, live from Old Chicago. Have a good rest of your week.
You've been listening to Buff Talk, live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Buff Talk, a presentation of Western Kansas Broadcast Center Sports.